in Romans 1, Paul is addressing a congregation that had not heard him speak before. So he's giving a very comprehensive account to people who may not even believe in Christianity yet. And I, in fact, I like to call it Paul's apologetics training manual, because he gives principles that can be applied to any worldview and make sense of it. For example, he starts out what? He starts out saying, those who don't worship the Creator will make an idol out of some part of creation, right? Those who exchange the glory of God for images of something in the created order. Now, we usually think of a statue or a golden calf, but an idol can also be something abstract. Think of the idols that so many people live for, like success or relationships. It can also be something abstract like matter. You know, is matter something in the created order? Well, sure it is. So materialism as a philosophy qualifies as an idol. It makes matter the first cause and source of everything else. So it's a substitute for God. Can reason be an idol? Well, of course. The philosophy of rationalism elevates reason to the ultimate source and standard of truth. So this insight allows us to apply Paul's teaching on idols to the many isms that we encounter in today's pluralistic and multicultural world. See, logically, everyone has to start somewhere. Something has to be posited as the ultimate reality of everything else. Atheists will sometimes say, well, not me. I'm not in the same boat. Our young people are getting a lot of their information these days from the internet. And on atheist websites, they will often see this. Atheism is not a belief. Atheism is merely the lack of belief in God or gods. But it's not possible to think without some starting point. And if you don't start with God, you must start with something else. Most atheists start with matter, materialism, or with nature, naturalism. So in that sense, it levels the playing field. Everyone has to start with something. And the question is, which one is really true? So Paul's teaching on idols applies to the idols of our own day as well as to the idols of the first century.
And I assume that when Paul was writing this, I mean, there are probably some similarities to Roman culture that, you know, fit nicely as we read it today, maybe with fresh new eyes.
Well, for example, Paul says, well, we all have evidence for God through general revelation, right, through the created order. And in my book, Finding Truth, I quote Cicero. Cicero was a great Roman writer a century before Christ, and he makes an astonishing argument from nature to God. He says, when we see nature running in its, you know, regular courses, it's orderly, it's rationally intelligible, we can see that nature is not just random, we ought to be able to conclude that there's a God. He says, not only do we conclude that it's a product of a mind, but of a divine mind. And he has a quote that sounds remarkably modern. He says, you don't see God himself, but by looking at his handiwork, you can discern that there must be a God. So what that means is that even in Cicero's time, even in the Bible's time, people could look at nature, they could look at the created order, and just like Paul says, they could see that it was evidence for God.
Does evidence carry the same weight that it once did? Haven't we even sort of moved kind of away from that, that it's, do we even look at evidence anymore?
Well, that's why many people said they like Finding Truth, my new book, because it doesn't simply assume a kind of scientific modern mindset that if we just give people the evidence, they'll grab it. It is more philosophical. It says, look, everyone starts with an idol. Everyone starts with basic philosophical assumptions, and that will color the way they read everything else. So, for example, let's take postmodernism. Postmodernism fails essentially because it collapses on itself. One of the common failings of many worldviews is they commit suicide, is the way I put it. They shoot themselves in the foot. For example, postmodernism says human rationality is swamped by non-rational forces, social forces like race, class, and gender. But if that's true, then that has to apply to their own thinking. Is their own theory just a product of their own race, class, and gender? Are they just mouthpieces for their own social forces? So if you apply their own theory back on itself, it discredits itself. It commits suicide. So postmodernism itself, you see, we can take the instead of just being defensive, we can go on the offensive in a positive way. We can say, why should we give in to the postmodern mindset that says there is no truth when postmodernism itself shoots itself in the foot, is self-refuting, it's self-defeating. So one of the steps, one of the five principles that are outlined in Finding Truth is how to show that every non-Christian worldview ultimately commits suicide. It ultimately is self-defeating. And the connection to committing suicide, being self-defeating, is this. If you have a lower view of the human person, you will also have a lower view of human cognitive faculties, our rationality, our reason. But how do they make their own case then? They have to use reason. So when they discredit reason, they undercut their own case as well. We talked about postmodernism. There's some other examples as well on the college campus today. Marxism is still very prominent. And Marx says you believe what you believe not because you think it's true, but because it advances your economic interests. That's what really drives people. Well, what about Marx's own theory then? Did he adopt it just to advance his economic interests? Why should the rest of us pay any attention to it then? So it's self-refuting. Or Freud. Freud is still a big name in psychology. He said, we don't believe what we believe because we're rationally persuaded it's true, but because of your psychological history, especially sexual repression. Well, what does that mean for Freud's theory then? Onto the couch yourself, Dr. Freud. A fast-growing movement in the college campus today, in all fields really, is evolutionary psychology, which says that ideas arise in our brains not because of their truth value, but because of their survival value. But if you apply that theory to itself, then it's not a matter of truth either, just survival. So every idol-based worldview ends up with a lower view of human reason. And as a result, when it uses reason to make its own case, it undercuts itself. The only worldview that has a high view of reason is Christianity, because we're made in God's image. We reflect the mind of the Creator. So in essence, every worldview has to reach over and borrow a Christian view of reason when they're making their own case. They have to use the benefits of Christianity, even though they reject Christianity, in order to avoid committing suicide themselves.